It's Friday, May 22nd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams reporting from Washington. Coming up, U.S. lawmakers debate strategy following the recent gains of the Islamic State. An expert discusses the loss of the ancient city of Palmyra to the militants.
And it's located right in the heart of the main road that links the west of Syria to the east.
Washington's National Mall undergoes restoration, and pop star Sam Smith gets some throat surgery. It's all ahead. Islamic State militants have made significant gains in recent days following temporary setbacks inflicted by coalition airstrikes on their positions. The radical Islamist group seized the historic Syrian city of Palmyra Thursday, just days after capturing Ramadi in Iraq. Republican lawmakers in the U.S. Congress are calling for greater U.S. military engagement against Islamic State, but the Obama administration rejects that strategy. Zlata Sahok has more.
The militants have published a video purportedly showing them outside Palmyra, an ancient city with magnificent ruins listed as a UNESCO heritage site. The news is raising the specter of the kind of senseless destruction Islamic State recently inflicted on cultural sites in Iraq.
I would appeal strongly to all sides once again to review strategies, to review their military actions, and to protect and preserve Palmyra.
Republicans in the U.S. Senate on Thursday called for a more concerted U.S. military effort against the militants, including sending ground troops to the region.
We need to form an Arab army of which we would be a part to go in and start taking land away from ISIL inside of Syria to destroy the caliphate.
Or arming Kurdish Peshmerga forces that are fighting the radical group.
They're right now fighting ISIS on the ground. They are, as a very practical matter, our boots on the ground. The problem is ISIS is using U.S. military equipment they've seized from Iraq. The Kurds' weaponry is outclassed, and it makes no sense whatsoever that the Obama administration is refusing to arm the Kurds.
The Obama administration has ruled out engaging U.S. troops in another costly and protracted war, saying it is not in the U.S. interest. Even those who want more U.S. action in Syria agree with that.
American boots on the ground are not the answer. Neither the American people nor the region's interests would be well served by a major combat mission of American troops.
The United States has participated in air raids on Islamic State positions, enabling local forces to retake some of the territory captured by the militants. It also is providing military training to Syrian opposition forces. Officials say the process takes time, but it gains results, such as the liberation of the Syrian city of Kobani. Zlata Sahok, VOA News, Washington.
And now we turn to VOA's Jeffrey Young, who speaks with Professor Gareth Stansfield of the University of Exeter and the Royal United Services Institute for more on what the takeover of Palmyra means.
Dr. Stansfield, this is a place that is filled with antiquities. It's an archaeological treasure, and now it's been taken over by the Islamic State. What are the inherent dangers of having an insurgent group like this holding such a priceless World Heritage Site?
The issue with Palmyra is that it is a very notable and important historical, archaeological, and cultural center. So it's a loss to humanity in general, but it is destroyed. It's also an important focal point for the economy of that particular part of central Syria. But most importantly, I think, in terms of the security of the region, is that it's located right in the heart of the main road that links the west of Syria to the east. And this does open up the possibility that places to the west, including Damascus and other places that run along the Lebanese border, could become increasingly threatened by ISIS. Also, what's important to note is that there is a very large prison in the town of Tadmor, which neighbours Palmyra. And this prison is one of the places that the Syrian regime houses most of its notorious released from that prison.
I see a certain diabolical brilliance in their taking Palmyra because it is so old and so fragile, you cannot respond to the Islamic State with any sort of full-bore military response. If you drop bombs or run artillery, you have priceless buildings from thousands of years ago that fall down and crumble. So in a sense, they picked a good place to embed themselves because a military response doesn't seem to be as feasible as it would be in other circumstances. What do you think?
Well, the geography of Palmyra is very much divided. The ancient city lies outside the modern town. So there is a modern town of tens of thousands of people that really are not getting all that much attention, really. And one has to feel for the inhabitants of Palmyra, of Tadmor today. But the actual ancient city is not part of the modern city. Now, if ISIS chooses to use it as a military ground in the defense of Palmyra later on, that's one thing. But there is no immediate reason why American or any other air force would feel the need to attack the actual ancient city.
I'm really struggling with all this, so... Gareth Stansfield is a professor at the University of Exeter, and he spoke with VOA's Jeffrey Young. Well, joining me here in the studio is web desk editor Andrew Polshevsky with a look at what's trending today. So, Andrew, what's happening?
Well, we have a couple of local issues that are trending. The first I want to look at is hashtag vote yes. Ireland goes to the polls today to vote on a referendum on same-sex marriage. And although this issue only impacts Ireland because of the vote, you see this trending on social media, and this is one of the powers of social media, that it's raising these local issues around the world and bringing more people into the conversation. So that's why we see that hashtag trending this morning.
Yeah, very interesting.
Absolutely. And this, we see this a lot with elections and other local events. Even though they don't impact a wide swath of people, a lot of people have opinions that they want to share. Another thing that we're seeing, and another issue that's raising a lot of opinions, is the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, this year it's interesting because for the first time Australia is participating. They'll get to vote in the contest, and they have a contestant, Guy Sebastian, who's participating. So hashtag SBS Eurovision, SBS being the Australian network that's showing the contest. That's trending on Twitter. The interesting thing about this is not only is it the first time that Australia has participated, but if Australia doesn't win this contest, they're not participating next year. This is kind of a one-off event. So
that is interesting that Australia happens to be participating in this.
And it's, I think that the social media people are trying to use that not only to share who they want to win. Obviously, the Australians want their contestant to win. But I think people are trying to use this as a way to show that it is a big deal in Australia, hoping that maybe it'll come back there and they'll be a permanent member of this Eurovision Song Contest in the future. But that topic is trending with lots of people commenting not only on the contest and hope the, who their candidate they wish to win, but the costumes and the song choices and kind of picking apart as often people do in social media.
Yeah, and that is always a huge international event, that Eurovision contest.
Absolutely. The fact that Australia's hashtag is the one that's top trending right now, I think, speaks to the interest that's going on in that country for this contest.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Andrew. That's web desk editor Andrew Polshevsky. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's premier newsmaker interview program. If you have ideas for guests or topics, or want to comment on one of our programs, please write to us at Press Conference USA, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. That's Press Conference USA, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email to pcusa@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is pcusa@voanews.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Some news now from Asia. A South Korean appeals court has suspended the prison term of a former Korean Air executive who delayed a flight in a rage about the way she was served macadamia nuts last year. Cho Hyun-ah was sentenced to a year in prison in February after she forced a December 5th flight to return to the gate in New York to remove a flight attendant who had served her macadamia nuts in a packet instead of on a plate in first class. Well, the upper court on Friday reduced the sentence to 10 months, then suspended it for 2 years, ruling that Cho's actions did not alter the aircraft's route while in flight. Cho walked free Friday after spending 5 months in jail. Cho, who was also charged with obstructing justice and assaulting a member of the cabin crew, was immediately released from custody. The eldest daughter of the airline's chairman, Cho was a Korean Air vice president in charge of in-flight service at the time of the outburst. And speaking of social media, that received a lot of comment at the time. This is International Edition on the Voice of America.
Here are the news headlines on VOA. Islamist rebels continued to make gains in northern Syria today, taking over a hospital where government forces had been under siege for weeks. President Bashar al-Assad's fighters have suffered a series of defeats to Islamic rebels in recent days. On Thursday, President Obama designated Tunisia as a major non-NATO ally of the U.S. Tunisian President Beji Caid Essebsi was at the White House. According to the World Bank, Gaza's economy is on the verge of collapse and its unemployment rate is now the highest in the world thanks to blockades, war, and poor governance. Irish citizens are voting today on whether to amend the Constitution to allow gay marriage. If the yes votes predominate in the referendum, Ireland would become the first country to approve gay marriage by popular vote. According to an army official, Colombia's army killed 18 members of the leftist rebel group, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, on Thursday in a bombing raid. The operation took place in western Colombia. This is Joe Palca for VOA.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. Coming up, a pop star undergoes throat surgery. Well, the National Mall here in Washington, D.C. is getting a much-needed facelift. The mall runs from the U.S. Capitol to the Washington Monument. I spoke with VOA Steve Barragona, who's been investigating the project. So, Steve, you know, why is this necessary? Why does the mall have to be overhauled, to be renovated?
It's gotten really, really beaten up. You've got 25 million people coming to the mall every year, and you've got concerts going on there. You've got festivals. You've got all kinds of political rallies and things like that. And, you know, you get 25 million people walking on anybody's grass, and it gets compacted. It gets compressed down. And so the soil is actually the density of brick right now. Brick. I mean, I had a guy from the National Mall, from the National Park Service, show me. He took a big clob of this dirt and he tried to break it. And it was really hard to break. So that's got to go. That soil is way too compacted for the grass to live in. All they could grow there were these weeds that don't mind really, really tight soil.
So is this the first time, like, in a while that this has been done, or is this, like, a new project?
No, I think I read that it's been about 30 years since they last restored the mall. So it needs to be done from time to time. It doesn't happen that often, but, you know, because it's expensive. They're taking the entire first couple of feet of soil off the mall and replacing it. So this is going to be about a $45 million project.
Now, the mall, we should say, is a pretty vast area. I guess it runs from the Lincoln Memorial to the U.S. Capitol.
Well, the grassy part, it's 2 kilometers from, and almost 2 kilometers, 1.9 kilometers from the U.S. Capitol to the Washington Monument. And it's, I believe it's a little bit shorter from there to the Lincoln Memorial. But the grassy bit that they're working on now, yeah, it's a lot of lawn.
Recently, I was at the Lincoln Memorial, and I just happened to notice the reflecting pool. I've lived in Washington many years, but the first time I've seen the reflecting pool totally empty.
Yeah. From what I heard, they're having some problems with geese. We have Canada geese. The name implies that they migrate from Canada down south. These geese have decided that they really like it by the reflecting pool. It's this great big, it's like a nice clean pond for them. And so they decided to camp out there. And, you know, geese do what geese do. And, they, you know, their poop basically has fouled the reflecting pool. And so they've had to clean it out. And now they're trying to keep the geese off. They've actually brought in an outfit called the Geese Police that have border collies, these dogs, these incredibly obedient dogs that are basically used to herd cattle and sheep and things. Well, they're basically unherding. They're chasing off the Canada geese. They don't want the geese there anymore. So this is – they've just started about a week ago or so. They started bringing in the dogs. It's going to take a while to train the geese that – these dogs are here, but they're, you know, that should do it.
Is it known how much this effort to overhaul the mall is going to cost?
The whole thing, the grass part, is about $45 million. It's part of a larger project to restore the entire mall. And that, I've seen figures up as high as about $700 million for, this goes well beyond just the grass, though. There's also restoration of the Capitol Gardens, which is this whole nice park-like area that's kind of adjacent to the reflecting pool. Nobody really goes there because it's not in great shape. And I believe it does include some of the restoration to the reflecting pool. But it also includes, I believe it includes something like $400 million in what they call deferred maintenance, because the National Park Service, like all of the federal agencies, has taken a series of cuts, a series of budget cuts over the years. And so they just haven't been able to do $400 million worth of stuff.
Yeah, and we should stress this, particularly in the summer season, there is so much going on with, you know, there have been concerts and festivals every year. There's an annual Folklife Festival. And also sometimes they show films out on the mall, and you get a lot of people sitting out there.
Right. Well, this time of year is, it is just packed with school kids. You've got field trips from all over the country. It's funny. It's like the season of the single color T-shirt. You've got schools from around the country. You've got school buses lined up and down the mall and kids wearing their school T-shirts. I've seen whole crowds of kids all wearing red T-shirts and green T-shirts and pink T-shirts, kind of identifying that, you know, we are with this school. We are on our Washington field trip. And this is a time of year. So I bike down past the reflecting pool, and you got to really ring the bell to tell the kids, I'm coming, because they're not really paying attention.
All right. Thanks very much, Steve.
Sure.
That's Steve Barragona, and this is VOA.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artist. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
A grand jury in the eastern U.S. state of Maryland has indicted all six officers charged in the police custody death of an African-American man. The prosecutor said the grand jury found probable cause to formally indict the Baltimore Police Department officers in the arrest of Freddie Gray, who died in April after being injured while in police custody. Gray's death brought to a boil long-simmering tensions between the police and poor neighborhoods in the majority black city, culminating in rioting and looting. U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch has opened a federal investigation of the Baltimore Police Department to determine whether the force had engaged in a pattern of civil rights violations. Well, he's a singer, songwriter, very young, very successful, and he's already had surgery. My colleague Philip Alexio is here with the latest on this British superstar.
All right, VOA 1 host Ray McDonald here to talk about Mr. Sam Smith, who had some surgery, this great singer. What's going on with him?
Hey, Phil. Well, he may have won multiple Grammys and sold about 5 million copies of his Lonely Hour, but the man went under the knife last week, or the laser, as the case may be. Back in April, Sam Smith began canceling shows after his doctor told him he needed surgery for a vocal cord hemorrhage. Now, of course, as you know, vocal cords vibrate against each other to produce sound. And when a blood vessel bursts, it causes bruising. Now, the reason for this? Well, we're not exactly sure. It could have just happened at a party where he raised his voice. Or it also could have happened because of the type of singing Sam does. Sam hits very high notes. He really gets up there. And this causes some additional stress to the vocal cords. Whatever happened, the doctor said, you have to cancel your shows. You have to get into the hospital. And that's exactly what happened. He underwent surgery last week at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. And the good news is he's expected to make a full recovery.
Now, this is a young guy.
Yeah, and he's
23 years old.
He's in his early 20s, you know. He has his whole career in front of him, and the doctors are saying this should not unduly affect him. His voice may be different going from here on out, but he's in good hands. The same doctor who operated on Sam also worked on Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, Lionel Richie, and Adele. All of them have come back stronger than ever. The downside for Sam is that he's not allowed to sing or even talk for the next 3 weeks. And he was all over Twitter saying, how am I going to do this? You know, I'm a loquacious guy. I love to sing. I love to talk. Yeah. This is going to be tough for me. That's par for the course because, like any other muscles, the vocal cords need time to heal. His next live show is scheduled for July 18th, and let's hope he's okay for that.
All right, so he's a 4-time Grammy winner, if I have that right.
Right, right. And it's tough out there for a professional musician. These days, touring is your most assured route to riches. So you got to go out there, you got to sing, you got to be at the top of your game night after night. Dr. Michelle Yagoda of the Lenox Hill Hospital in Brooklyn says it's like playing the World Series nonstop. And she says Sam Smith's voice will likely change in some form after this procedure, but it'll probably be for the better, and he'll be able to hit those notes more clearly. He's going to have to take care of himself, though.
Good luck to you, Mr. Sam Smith. And once again, VOA 1 host Ray McDonald. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Hey, thanks a lot, Phil. Here's Sam, by the way, back in the days when he could sing. This is his current hit single, Lay Me Down.
I'm reaching out to you.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is gravely concerned about the plight of thousands of Rohingya and Bangladeshi migrants stranded at sea in Southeast Asia. Many of the migrants are Rohingya, a minority Muslim population in Burma. Burma refuses to recognize the Rohingya as Burmese citizens. They have been subjected to severe discrimination and violence, with Burmese authorities enforcing disproportionate restrictions on their movement. In Rakhine State, tens of thousands live as internally displaced persons in camps, with little access to livelihoods, markets, food, or places of worship. They have become vulnerable to human traffickers, who promise them a better life if they leave the country by boat. Up to an estimated 500,000 undocumented Rohingya and 32,000 registered Rohingya refugees also live in neighboring Cox's Bazar district, Bangladesh, as well as other countries in the region. Now, thousands of migrants are stranded in vessels in the Bay of Bengal, Andaman Sea, and Strait of Malacca with little food or water, and many are reportedly in desperate shape. The governments of Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand have offered some assistance to the migrants and have already allowed nearly 4,000 to land on their shores in recent days. Indonesia and Malaysia have now agreed to take in another 7,000 and asked the international community to help them with this humanitarian effort. The United States urges all the countries of the region to work together quickly to save the lives of the migrants.